Bring greetings to all of you in Jesus' worthy name this evening. And my mind has gone a long way tonight. As I peered into the inside of this church house this evening for the first time, and couldn't help but what Mo shared about it. It reminds me of the old building at Faith Haven in Benton. We were there for, I think, if I remember right, the church started, but they weren't there right away. I'm guessing it was around 40, 50 years, because I think in 07 we moved out of there. And so, yeah, spent a lot of time in a building like this a lot. But it served the purpose well for a number of years. So, yeah, tonight, on a Friday night, on the weekend of an ordination, there's a lot of different range of emotions going through all of you, I'm sure. Some to a greater, some to a lesser degree. But that's all right. That tells me you're human. You're normal. You have a heart rate, at least. And so we just trust the Lord to show us whom thou hast chosen, whom he has chosen for us. And sometimes I wonder, and I don't want to make light of this in a time like this here. Ordinations are serious, and it's nothing to play around with, but sometimes I wonder, in a sense, do we make too much of it? Saying that because of, all of us, if you're here tonight, and you're a born-again child of God, and you're a Christian, you also have a ministry. We all have ministry. We're called. If we're God's people, there's a work to do for all of us. And I realize, receiving a charge to be part of a leadership team in the church, it brings some added responsibilities. And if we wanted to or not, people start looking at us a little different, but we're still normal people. And those are thoughts that I went through my mind this evening and throughout the day here as we're thinking about tonight. But, God has chosen someone. He just hasn't revealed it to us yet. And we trust by the time the weekend is past that we will know who will be part of the team here with Brother Tyler. This evening I wrestle a little bit of what I wanted to talk about, what for topic. And Bo's kind of gave me about 20 minutes, so I guess if we go over that, you can sound a beeper or something. But I'll try to stay within the bounds there. But a few things came to my mind, a couple of words that I was thinking about in a time like this, especially in the time, it should be this way all the time, but especially a church going through an ordination. And there's three words that I think, there's three things I believe that it does to a congregation, and it brings edification to a church. It edifies a church. It's good for a church. It's healthy for a church. It unifies us, edifies us. It unifies us, and it also strengthens the church as well. And I just wanted to look at a few examples in Scripture that those things happened in the early church in Acts, and we don't have to go very far in Acts chapter 2. The time there where Peter preached his message of repentance to the flock there and to the people, and how 3,000 souls were saved, and just a miraculous time. And so I'm going to break in there in verse 38 to the end of that chapter in Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bibles along. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture for all of us, I believe. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Doesn't that paint a beautiful picture? We think back in history, and our mind goes back to great events that happen or happen in time. And if there ever was a place where I would have wanted to be a part of, was on this wonderful day when 3,000 souls came to know the Lord. And what an impact that must have left in those areas when those people turned their lives around. But we don't want to spend too much time there. But we notice here in verse 41, it said, they gladly received his word and were baptized. I believe it's so very important that we are always open to his word, that we gladly receive it. When we gladly receive it, we realize that we need it. We need that word to penetrate into our lives, to speak into our lives, to bring us edification, to bring us stability. And we could go on and on and on, the word of God, what it does for us. But it we feed upon that. When we feed upon God's word, that is healthy nutrition. You know, if we eat junk food, we probably won't feel the greatest. And we feel a little junky. We get a little junky sometimes. We eat the wrong food. We don't get the nutrition that we should. But when we eat of God's word, if we feast upon God's word, that is the balance, that is the good nutrition that helps us to be edified and to grow in his likeness. And then at verse 42, he says there, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfast. They were steadfast in that. They were, because of their edification that they received, they were edified because they gladly received the word and continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, if we ever need people today to continue on in our Christian walk of life, it is today. You know, all of us could make long lists of people, of acquaintance that we've known over the years that started out and were steadfast to begin with, but somehow, some way along the line, they lost their way and they got off the rails, so to speak, in their Christian life. And they're wandering off today and drifting away from God. And what a sad story that is. But today, God's power, God's keeping power and saving power is just as powerful now than it was back then. And so when people move away from God, it's them moving away from God. It's not God turning their back on them. And so let's continue to be steadfast as we're edified. And then in verse 44, it says, thinking of being unified, and all that believed were together, he says, and all things common. They were together. They came together. And isn't that beautiful to see that happen in the lives of individuals and coming together as a church to be together in oneness? You know, the Spirit of God always works toward unity, to be unified. He always draws together. You know, sometimes we think things aren't going the way it should, but yet if we remain faithful and continue to walk with him and walk in the Spirit of God, he will keep and hold things together. As chaotic as life sometimes seems, the things that we face, that we will always have the promise that he's going to be with us. He always draws us together. The Spirit of God never divides. The Word of God agrees with the Spirit of God. They continued steadfastly, and they believed and were together in verse 44. In verse 46, he says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple." Again, giving the idea in one accord of being together, and also being together and holding together is that they were strengthened as well. And so this weekend, my prayer is here that you people here at LifeSpring, that you experience these times here, that you experience an edification, that you're unified, you're one, and you're strengthened. And let's not lose sight of the Word of God, because that is where we want to live by that, because we're going to be judged by the Word of God as well. Verse 42 could also get the idea of them being strengthened. Verse 46, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So, just as I scanned over these verses here, and I thought about those three words, it just kind of seemed to jump out at me that this is what happened here. There was an edification going on. There was a unifying going on, and also a strengthening to the people. Maybe just another passage I like to look at is over in Acts chapter 12, when we have Peter being imprisoned here. And just going to read some of the account here. Maybe begin reading, break in reading in verse 5 of Acts chapter 12. And it says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not what it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto their iron gate with that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. You know, I was a little bit amused when I read this again. We pray for things to happen as well, don't we? And then when the prayer is answered, we're kind of surprised that it happened. But we say we have faith it's going to happen. And kind of like read into this, these people here, they were praying. And then they didn't want to believe that actually happened when Peter stood at the door. But let's notice here something in verse 5, the first verse that I read here in this passage. It says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison. The prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Without ceasing. They didn't let up. They were probably begging God for them, for him to deliver Peter from the prison and praying for Peter's safety. And so they were bound together. They were united in one. They were unified in one. They were banding together for one cause, for Peter's sake. And again, that strength that comes from having unity in a congregation is, there's no limit to that. And you know, that really excites me when we see that happening, that there's strength, there's unity in the church, and there's strength comes with that to overcome and to work through things or whatever we face. Tonight, you might be here and you're not sure what the Lord is trying to tell you, but just trust him. His strength will get you through whatever it is. And rest assured, it'll be all right, because God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what this church needs. He knows exactly what type of leadership or what character of leadership that LifeSpring needs here. He's not some foreign man off in the foreign land and trying to figure things out here. He knows exactly where you're at tonight. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly the rate of your heart right now. He knows those things. That's okay. It's all right. We want to trust him for that. I'm not going to extend this much further, but I just want to say this. Whoever is called, and tonight, whatever you're going through, you know, the scripture has many promises for anything in life that we face. But I have to think of the time when I was called that my wife and I experienced. She heard a voice the morning of the ordination, and that was just a phrase in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where it says he gave instructions there to baptize, to teach, and all that. But then he said, "Lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so we can claim those things, but first of all, he gave us instructions to do these things, and we need to follow that. Then and then we can have his blessing, and he will be with us. As we walk in his footsteps, as we walk in oneness, we will claim that promise. It will happen. And it's oftentimes it's not what we think it might be sometimes, but we can rest assured God does not make any mistakes. And we can rest in that, lo, he will be with us always, even unto the end of the world. He put that word always in there, not just, you know, leaves us hanging. Well, is he going to be with me in this situation? Is he going to be with me tomorrow? No, he says always, and that's always. I can't enlarge on that word further. It's always that way. He's going to be with us. So may God bless you as you continue further. Maybe just bow our heads for a word of prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. In this hour, we thank you that we have your word again to go into and to draw your wonderful truth from this. And we pray, Father, now as we come to the point of the evening, the time of the evening, to for the brethren and sisters to cast their lots, their votes, Lord. Just be with each one. May they be sensitive to you. May they rest in you and allow you to have your complete will done. And we have the confidence that you will show us what your will is by the time the weekend is over. So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.